All right, so we start hour number two. I'm Jim Rome. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We had Dave Stewart on last hour. Coming up next segment, my man Ben Mezrich back in the jungle. There's a reason why I'm bringing back Ben so quickly. You do not want to miss that. Bitcoin, red hot right now. And I would venture to guess that Ben's a big reason why that is. So that's coming up next segment. At the end of hour number one, I jammed this in. Normally, I would not try to jam something in, but to me, it was breaking news. And to be fair to the guy. So I come out in the open of the show, and I've got a really strong take, I thought, on the Knicks and free agency and how they're not going to get anybody. Like, Knicks fans been going on and on about how they're going to get not just KD, but KD and Kyrie. And that was after they were going to win the lottery and get Zion. None of that's happening. None of that's going to happen. And I laid out all the reasons why. Despite that fact, none of you seem to care. And how about some bleeping credit? It was a really strong opening take. Some bleeping credit.
Give them some credit. I mean, for real.
For real. You didn't care about that. All you wanted to do was tweet an email about the guy who called yesterday and made up that story. Told that lie about him and his wife or girlfriend and child being rescued after they were going down a river in Big Sur. And their only shot was to go with a message in a bottle. Obviously, it was bullcrap. I called bullcrap on it. And you didn't forget about it. It jumped the day. In case you missed it yesterday, in part, this was Curtis making a call about a message in a bottle saving he and his wife and his kids' lives.
On day three, we got to a point on the river where we just couldn't go down. It was just too dangerous for me to, you know, have my girlfriend and my son go down. So to make a long story short, we put a message in a water bottle and just waited for the best thing to happen. And the best thing did happen. Two other people on the river actually got that water bottle, read the note, and 8 hours later, we had a chopper hovering above us at 12:30 at night.
So where were you that whole time? As you were waiting?
All right, so let me just jump in. He said, we put a message in the bottle hoping that the best thing that could happen. Curtis, the best thing did happen. You came on this show and you told that stupid lie. That was the best thing that could happen to me. And the clones ran with it. And we all had a nice laugh at your expense. Problem is, Curtis emailed today. And I read the email in part last hour. Quote, I'm sorry if you thought my story was fake. I understand why you reacted the way you did and had doubt with what I said. I figure that you don't want your show to be a platform for unbelievable fake stories. Let me stop right there. You're right, Curtis. I do not want my show to be a platform for unbelievable fake stories or dopes or people who tell lies. You're right about all that. He goes on, I just thought that you and your show would be a great place for my story to be heard. I listen to your show almost every day while I'm working. If nothing more comes of this, it was an honor to be on your show. Sincerely, Curtis Whitson. So we're clowning this guy. We're mocking this guy. And he still ends it by saying, if nothing else, it's an honor to be on your show. I mean, what a class dude, right? My man, Curtis. We're like, we're all mocking you and calling you a liar. And you still say it's an honor to be on the show. Curtis, you're all class. Also, one more thing. You're a liar. You're not a felon, Curtis. You're a liar. But he might not be. He might not be. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network right now, we are rolling video and photos that he submitted. There's a video right now of his girlfriend being airlifted. Dude, crazy. Like, airlifted with a helicopter and a cable. Scary stuff. So there's actual video of it going down. We're showing it right now on CBS Sports Network. There's also a still of all of them being rescued. Curtis, my man, I am this close to offering up a major mea culpa and a major apology. But I do have one question. Help me with this. If you have a phone, and I know you do because you captured video, why did you need a message in a bottle when you could have just called somebody on your phone or thumbed out SOS or 911 or help? I don't know. Like, was there poor coverage when you were going down that waterfall or you went into stage 5 rapids or whatever it was? Help me with that part of it, because I'm this close to saying, Curtis, I am very, very sorry that I did not believe your story. Also, did you in the phone call, I'm watching the video, there might be one other inconsistency in your story. Didn't you say you were rescued at night?
And 8 hours later, we had a chopper hovering above us at 12:30 at night.
So where were you? All right, bro, 12:30 at night, I'm looking at that airlift. It's in broad daylight. Wait a minute. There may not be an apology forthcoming. I retract that apology. Or I retract that near apology. I mean, I don't know, Curtis. I may have to see your telephone's IMEI number or your... I need phone records. Like, how do I know you didn't lift that video from any anonymous site? I mean, how many airlifts have there been in the world? Millions? How do I know that? You and your family? I don't know you. You did say on the phone call that you were rescued at 12:30 at night.
Hovering above us at 12:30 at night.
That's not 12:30 at night, bro. That video we just played is broad daylight. That might be 12:30 in the afternoon. Now, maybe you were out there without food and water, and you were delusional, and you thought 12:30 in the afternoon was 12:30 at night.
12:30 at night.
There is a discrepancy. There is an inconsistency. I don't know. Help me out with this, Curtis. I was this close to owning it. I was this close to apologizing for it until I remembered there was a part of that call where you said it went down at night.
12:30 at night.
That video is broad daylight.
You're a liar.
I would ask you to produce the bottle, but I don't need to do that because I know you'd go right to your refrigerator right now, empty out the water, and jam a note in there like a fortune cookie. So that's not going to help me. I don't even know if that video is legit. Anyway, Curtis, trying to have your back, bro. Unlike a lot of people in this world, I've got no problem apologizing for a mistake. Man, I'm good at that. 1-800-636-8686. Yeah, I'm not like that.
Absolutely nobody.
I love that when Connor did that, but I'm not that guy. I have no problem with apologizing if I'm wrong because I'm all about ownership and accountability. And I know that America is a really forgiving nation. I don't know, Curtis. Did you have no service? It would explain the video working, but not the cell service. Maybe up there in the mountains. Maybe in Big Sur there was no service. Or you can argue that. Fine. How do you respond to my criticism that you said it was 12:30 at night? But that's middle of the day, man. Broad daylight. We'll wait and see. We will continue digging and investigating and looking into that. So it is still premature, Curtis, in terms of you getting an apology from me. As far as the clones, you know what they're going to do, Curtis. If you know the show, you know what they'll do.
You're a liar.
The clones will come at you with, "You're a liar, Curtis." Maybe not a felon,
You're a liar.
But a liar. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Ben Mesrick coming up next segment. Adam Hawk in studio. Ed in Santa Paula tweets, "I believe Curtis. Sincerely, Ryan Lochte."
Yeah.
I was reading this piece on SI.com about Alex Rodriguez and how Alex Rodriguez has completely reinvented himself and how this guy went from being a pariah to like really popular and really likable. And that one of the guys, and that he mentors people and talks to people because he's hit rock bottom. He knows how to handle yourself or what you should do and what you should say when things go wrong. And that he spoke to Ryan Lochte and let Lochte know how badly he came off and actually gave Lochte some work. Like Lochte's living with his family now in some 2-bedroom apartment. Hey, Jim, we believe Curtis's story. Regards, morons. Always good to hear from morons. Imbeciles didn't want any part of that. Dopes. Lee in Hartford. Curtis, again, I want to believe you. I really do. But there are inconsistencies in your story, brah. Hey, Jim, I have no Bitcoin. But can you ask Ben Mesrick what the outlook is for discarded bus tokens and how he thinks that expired drugstore coupons will perform on the futures market? Fiscally yours, IRA. Wore my diversified 401k consisting of aluminum cans and plastic water bottles. Signed, Denlusks, The Jungle's Warren Buffett. Yeah, no, I'm not going to ask Ben about that. But I've got lots of questions for Ben, which is coming up. But how about a phone call? You know I'm on vacation next week, right? You may have mentioned or missed that when I mentioned that subtly yesterday. I am on vacation all of next week. This begins my summer vacation before the NFL season. So you want to hit me up right now, 1-800-636-8686. Ben Mezrich talking crypto and his book, Bitcoin Billionaires, and where the Bitcoin might be going. That's coming up next segment. Next hour, Tennessee Titans linebacker Wesley Woodyard. My thoughts on Don Nelson living his best life. Major League Baseball's got a real problem. In fact, Major League Baseball's got a lot of problems. Number one, nobody's paying attention. Number two, the issue with foul balls. And we got an update on that little two-year-old who got hit. Remember that several weeks back with a foul ball? And that image of her dad running her up the steps. Remember that? We hadn't heard anything about this until just now. And the update is terrifying. It's very bad. How there aren't nets in every major league ballpark still is a miracle to me. So another problem for Major League Baseball. And where'd he come out on Curtis's tall tale? Is he telling the truth or not? Do you believe that somebody could be rescued from a message in a bottle? When you saw that video, if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, do you buy that that's Curtis's girlfriend? Or, and Curtis, no offense, but do you think he lifted that video and sent it to us?
8 hours later, we had a chopper hovering above us at 12:30 at night.
I'm not saying that that's not your girlfriend, Curtis. I'm saying that that's not 12:30 at night. It's just not. It's broad daylight. All right, we are coming back. Ben Mezrich joins me on the phones when we do. The sun is out. It was when Curtis's girlfriend was airlifted out of Big Sur. That was not the middle of the night, by the way, Curtis. The sun's out. The temperature is heating up, which means it is finally grilling season. This season, eat like the party never ends. With Kingsford, grill burgers, chicken, corn, brats, ribs, all kinds of food with that mouth-watering, died-and-gone-to-heaven flavor that only Kingsford can fire up. Get yourself a bag of Kingsford charcoal at your local retailer. Start something big, because it's not a party if you're not eating good, and you're not eating good unless you're eating food good with Kingsford.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
As promised, welcome back. I don't want to waste any time. Let's get right to it. He is a jungle legend. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He is author of Bringing Down the House, The Accidental Billionaires, The 37th Parallel, and Wooly, to name just a few. His books have a combined printing of more than 4 million copies. His newest book, Bitcoin Billionaires, A True Story of Genius, Betrayal, and Redemption, is out right now. It's absolutely murdering it. It's killing it. He makes a return visit to the show already. I'm talking about Ben Mezrich. Ben, what's up? How are you?
Hey, thanks so much for having me back.
Ben, it is very rare that I have a guest back this quickly, but so much has happened in the world of Bitcoin since you and I last spoke last month. First of all, what's the month been like for you, and what has the response to the book been?
I mean, it's been completely crazy. I don't know, Jim. I went on your show with Bitcoin Billionaires, and Bitcoin has gone up so much since then that I like to take credit for it, and you should too.
No, you should.
It's crazy. I mean, the world of Bitcoin has changed because Facebook suddenly launched their own or is announced their own cryptocurrency. The book has been just an incredible ride for me. It's been an incredible amount of press. And Bitcoin has exploded, you know, just in the past month. So it's been nuts. I always try to guess when I'm writing a book about what's going to happen, but this was just a very odd coincidence that everything exploded right when the book came out.
Ben Mezrich joining us. Ben, it's been an amazing thing to watch, knowing you and knowing the book itself. Again, Ben, for people who are still trying to wrap their heads around it, because people still don't know, what exactly is Bitcoin or cryptocurrency?
So Bitcoin is digital money. It's money that you can send to someone like you send a text or an email. So I could send to you or to anybody Bitcoin instantly the same way I would send a text. So there's nobody in between. There's no authority. There's no bank. There's no government. It was originally founded by people with these libertarian, anarchistic ideals that it was completely free, and that it ended up being used a lot by drug dealers and criminals because it was untraceable. But now it's this whole new world where Bitcoin is becoming more and more part of the mainstream, and people look at it now like gold. It's scarce. There's only 21 million Bitcoins in existence, or will ever be in existence. So it's a limited supply, so the price is only based on the demand. So it's a way of money. It's pretty crazy.
It's wild. Ben Mesrick joining us. In terms of the ride itself, when you started to write Bitcoin Billionaires, Bitcoin was valued at about $4,000. When you and I, Ben, spoke on May 22nd, Bitcoin was in the 7,000s. Yesterday, it went right by 13,000, but then dropped roughly 1,000 in a matter of minutes. So it really has been a wild ride. And then something else happened. You touched on this in the last month, the announcement that Facebook wants to get into the currency game. You had referenced this before, but they did announce Libra. Before we get into the nuances of Libra, how insane is it that the twins launch a product called Gemini, and then Mark Zuckerberg comes out with Libra? I mean, there's no way that's a coincidence, right?
No. Mark Zuckerberg is the ultimate internet troll. It's completely insane. The Winklevoss twins, who are his mortal enemies, dive into Bitcoin. They make billions on Bitcoin, and then they launch something called Gemini and a Gemini dollar. And then suddenly, Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg launch Libra, which is a Libra dollar. And I actually ended Bitcoin Billionaires. The last chapter of it is Mark Zuckerberg contemplating launching a cryptocurrency. And I wrote this a year ago, and I had him doing this out of personal reasons, that he has this personal animosity towards the twins. He sees them thriving in this new economy, and he needs to get in. Now, obviously, there's more to it than that, but it's kind of wild that I picked this correctly. And I really do believe there's this personal psychodrama going on. And that's what Bitcoin Billionaires is about. Mark Zuckerberg can't leave it alone. And that gets into who he is. You know, back in college, he was a computer hacker. He hacked into all of the computers at Harvard, made a website where you could vote on who the hottest girl at Harvard was. That was what he did before launching Facebook. He was known as a computer hacker. So it's not surprising to me that he won't let this go and that he would do something that really does seem trollish.
Ben Mesrick joining us. He is the author of Bitcoin Billionaires. You want to get this book if you have not already. It's amazing. Now, you also, Ben, recently wrote a piece on Facebook and Libra, and you opened it with this quote. Quote, yeah, so if you ever need info about anyone at Harvard, just ask. I have over 4,000 emails, pictures, addresses, SMS. People just submitted it. I don't know why. They trust me, dumb bleeps, end quote. For those who do not know, who is that from and what's to say about that person?
I mean, listen, yeah, it's nuts. You know, that's an actual instant message that Mark Zuckerberg sent in college. This came out later during all of the depositions. It was actually not in the trial with the Winklevoss twins, but it came out later. But yeah, he thinks all of us are stupid for putting all of our data on Facebook. That was in his own words. And yet we continue to do it, and Facebook grows and grows and grows. So all the issues that Facebook is having, you know, is something that was foretold, you know, in the social network. But essentially, Zuckerberg, in his own words, basically thinks that we're all stupid for using Facebook.
So, Ben, like, for instance, what would you say to somebody who might say, yeah, but you know what, though, Ben? That was a long, long time ago. That was just Zuckerberg bragging about how successful he is. He's a different guy now. If somebody came at you with that, what would you say?
Well, listen, it's fair to say that he's changed a lot since he was 19. We all did stupid things when we were 19. But you look at Facebook's problems today, and all of the issues that we have with it, and you know, the fears we have around, you know, abuse of our data, of selling our data, of using it for weird political things, and you start to look back at who Zuckerberg is, and you wonder if this is something that, you know, has changed all that much. Listen, I don't want to, you know, trash on him too much. I really do think he's done an amazing thing, creating something that we all use. This is our lives now. We're all online, and that's partially because of him. But, you know, deep down, I think he thinks about privacy differently than we do. And we should all be a little scared of him launching a form of money that eventually we're all going to use.
That's what I was going to say next. Ben Mesrick joining us. His book is called Bitcoin Billionaires. It's out right now. I was going to ask that very question. I mean, leaving aside, Ben, the questions of how users without banks would be able to buy Libras, given what Zuckerberg has said and done as it relates to privacy, how much would you trust him when it comes to creating a currency?
I mean, it's terrifying, you know, but there's also positives to it. Everyone and their mother is suddenly going to have an electronic wallet. everyone is going to get comfortable with the idea of using digital money. You know, we're all already comfortable, but right now we use things that use banks, like PayPal or Venmo. This is something slightly different in that there is no bank involved. In Facebook, in Libra's case, it's going to be Facebook involved, but supposedly they're not going to have control over it, but they will be able to glean your data from it. Suddenly their tentacles will be in everything we pay for. So the amount of data that comes from the information from your bank account, it far surpasses the pictures and the things you put on Facebook right now. They're going to know what you buy, when you buy it, so it's a little scary. But at the same time, I fully admit we're all going to use it. Every one of us is going to buy something using Libra because it's going to be so simple. You're going to go on Facebook, you're going to see something, you're going to click a button, and you're going to have bought it, and no bank is going to be involved. And you're essentially going to be able to go to the store and buy Libra dollars the same way you would buy like an Amazon gift card. That's how you'll put cash into it without having a bank. So it's going to be really interesting. Everyone's going to use it, no matter what we say about it. But it's going to be completely unregulated. As you know, it's going to be something that these people like Zuckerberg and these other tech billionaires have access to the information from.
We're talking to Ben Mesrick. He is the author of Bitcoin Billionaires. You know, in part, Ben, you also just answered part of my next question. But leaving aside Libra for a moment, how radical is cryptocurrency?
Cryptocurrency is one of the biggest changes that we're going to see, you know, via technology in a long time. I mean, Facebook was a massive sea change in the way we lived our lives. We now live almost entirely on the internet. And cryptocurrency is the money of the future. It's not controlled by any particular government. It's not controlled by any particular bank. The idea is I can send you money instantly and there's nobody between us. And I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, we're living in a world where we use our phones for everything. We're going to be paying for everything with our phones. No one's going to carry around wallets with cash in them anymore when everything is really simple and really online. And that's the future we're moving towards. And Bitcoin, in my opinion, is different in a lot of ways because Bitcoin really and truly doesn't have anyone in between it. There's no authority. There's no Facebook. If I send you a Bitcoin, nobody can get in between that transaction, and it's all guaranteed by math and science. So it's not something you have to trust. You don't have to trust Zuckerberg. But Libra is really going to change the game because it's massive. It's going to be immediately everywhere. And it's borderless. It's not just the United States. It's tied to everybody. So everyone everywhere, you can send $1 to someone in the middle of Africa instantly. And that's not possible before cryptocurrencies.
Ben Mesrick is joining us right now. Once again, that book is called Bitcoin Billionaires. Now, Ben, when you sat in studio a few weeks back, you said to me, do you have any Bitcoin? I said, no. And by the way, I do now, Ben, thanks to you. Well, not thanks to you, but when I asked you if you had some, you said, I don't. And I said, why not? And you said, look, it's still really speculative. It's risky. It could go right down to zero. There is risk involved. We know this. Everybody should know that. What are the kinds of things then, Ben, that you want to see before you feel like some of that risk is going to be diminished and it might become more stable?
Well, a couple of things going on. Number one, there are big whales like the Winklevoss twins who own enormous amounts of Bitcoin. So you're seeing these incredible, you know, peaks and valleys. In a single day, Bitcoin can go down $1,000 because one guy sells 5,000 Bitcoin. You know, the volume is still controlled to some extent by these giant whales who have billions of dollars in this currency. Remember, these guys bought it at $7 a coin. So for them, you know, it hits $10,000. They got to be thinking about selling a little bit, right? And so it's nerve-wracking in that respect. Secondly, I think it has to decide what it is. Is it currency that we use to buy something, or is it a store of value like gold or a stock that you buy to invest your money? Because the reality is I'm not going to use Bitcoin to buy a pack of gum if tomorrow Bitcoin is going to go up by 10%. I mean, that would be crazy, right? So right now you buy Bitcoin to hold it. The hodlers, they're called, the people who hold on to Bitcoin forever, because people like the Winklevoss twins believe the price of Bitcoin is going to go to $250,000 a coin. So they believe we're really in the infancy of Bitcoin. So, you know, it's not a bad thing to buy. You just have to be willing to take the risk. And not if you stare at the price of Bitcoin, as I'm sure a lot of people are doing right now, it's going to drive you insane. And it always goes back to that story of the guy. The first Bitcoin transaction was a guy who bought two pizzas for 10,000 Bitcoin. So at the time, it was worth nothing. And now those two pizzas are worth $1 billion.
Holy crap.
This guy, he's going to be found hanging in his bathroom. You know, how do you look at something like that and not be affected by it? So if you're watching the price volatility every day, it can drive you insane.
Ben Mezrich, my guest. Do the Winklevi, Ben, I mean, frankly, do they think that it's going to go to 250 GER, or does it behoove them to say things like that?
No, they are true believers. These are guys who bought in at $7 and held it to $20,000 and are holding it, you know, at $10,000, at $13,000, or whatever it's at $11,000 today. They're holding it because they truly believe it's gold. And gold is a multi-trillion dollar market. And Bitcoin is still a multi-billion dollar market. And so the idea is there's an awful lot of room to grow. And, you know, it's wild when you think about it. When Bitcoin started, it was so illegitimate. Everyone said, this is not real. Everyone said, this is a scam. This is a tulip bubble. This is crazy. Suddenly, Facebook is launching a cryptocurrency. So the legitimacy of cryptocurrencies, that has changed dramatically. It's now something that everyone agrees is part of our future. So the question becomes, does Bitcoin have a place in a world with Libra? I think it does as a form of gold. Why would you buy gold when you can buy Bitcoin? Gold is something that we don't know the amount of it is. I mean, tomorrow we could find an asteroid full of gold. We can change the amount of gold there is instantly, right? But Bitcoin is set at 21 million. And gold isn't useful. It's not like we put gold in jewelry because it's useful. It's shiny. That's all that gold has going for it. So the reality is, why would you choose gold over Bitcoin?
He is a jungle legend, and now you know why. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He has written a number of books, brilliant books, but this is really something. It's Bitcoin Billionaires, the true story of genius, betrayal, and redemption. The book is out right now. Again, it is killing it. Ben, I'm really happy for you. I couldn't be more proud of you. I love, Ben, from me to you as a friend, I love how enthusiastic you are, how hard you're hitting this. You're not approaching this like, I did my book tour, I'm done, I'm going to go sit on a beach. Man, I know you are grinding. You are working really hard. You're having a great time, aren't you?
I am. You know, I love when I tell a story, I want as many people in the world to see it as possible because I really think these stories are important and fun and exciting. This is the origins of something that's going to change all of our lives. And I think that, you know, it's my job to get my story out there. So I really love doing it. And I love all the people who read it and tell me that they love it. And I think that that's just, it's literature is important. Stories are important. But they've got to be exciting and thrilling and life-changing. And I think that, you know, that's my goal every time I go out there. So I'll be pushing Bitcoin Billionaires until everyone's read it.
I'm here for it. I'm here for you, Ben. Also, you want to find Ben on Twitter. Ben is great on social. He's great on Twitter. He'll respond to you, clones. Find Ben Mezrich on Twitter and let him know what you think about the interview and the book. Ben, great to have you back. It's been an amazing ride, and I know you and I will get together again soon. Thanks so much, Ben.
Jim,
congrats.
I'm always going to break my stories with you, so thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Ben, you're the best. Thank you very much, Ben. Congrats. I love that about Ben, too. Ben is a brilliant guy. I mean, he's a genius. And he's done so well, and he's had so much success. And I love that Ben always will come to us first with his projects because he had such a great reaction from the clones early in his career and never forgot it. All right, so does that kind of illuminate things at all? Does that open your eyes to cryptocurrency, Bitcoin? What is your reaction to that? As good as he was when that book dropped a few weeks back, he was just as good or better today. Also, another development, Curtis is on the phone. Curtis has called in and he wants to tell the story of what happened, how he got airlifted, whether or not that went down in the middle of the night or the middle of the day. Curtis is on hold, so we will go there as well. And I do want your reaction to Ben Mezrich. Next hour, Wesley Woodyard. Next week, I'm off. So you're running out of time. If you've got something you want to say to me, post smack off, you want to hit me now. 1-800-636-8686. Here is your bottom of the hour sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Now listen, in terms of crypto and Bitcoin, it's all fascinating, it's all interesting, but again, there's a lot of risk involved. I'm looking at my account right now. I did buy a coin after Ben came on. Bitcoin is down $1,600 today. It's down 12%. It's down 12% today. That's the ride, man. So, here's hoping if you bet on it, And again, there's so many stories about people who bought it when it was $500 or when $500 got you a coin or a coin and a half. Right now, a coin costs just under $11,000. So if you bought it for $7 or $100 or $500 or $1,000 or $4,000, great. If you bought it just now, you're on the ride. So it's down 12% today. Keep that in mind. All right, I'm not pushing it because I have one. I only have one. And I bought it late. And remember, when I asked Ben if he had some, Ben made the point that it would be a conflict of interest. He can't have it and be pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. I just hope that the Winklevii are right when they say it's going to a quarter of a mil. I saw one nut online saying it's going to a mil. How awesome would that be? Or how about this? It could go to zero. So we'll see. Ben Mesrick came back. Either way, whether you have some or not, you should read the book. It's fascinating. Speaking of fascinating, so this guy calls up yesterday out of nowhere, Curtis from Morro Bay, and he tells this fascinating story about how he, his girlfriend, and his son got trapped and were rescued as a result of a message in a bottle. Fascinating story that exactly nobody listening believed. Nobody. If you were listening yesterday, you know what I'm talking about. But if not, here's a short version of that phone call.
We put a message in a water bottle and just waited for the best thing to happen. And the best thing did happen. Two other people on the river actually got that water bottle, read the note. And 8 hours later, we had a chopper hovering above us at 12:30 at night.
So I tried to be nice about it because he was a nice enough fellow, but I called bullcrap. Nobody got saved by a message in a bottle. You're wasting my time. You're coming on this show. You're lying. And I said that, just as a matter of fact. But you clones do what you clones do. You had a field day with it. But sure enough, Curtis comes back today via email and says, it really did happen. I understand why you'd be skeptical, but it really did happen. And then I started thinking, man, I owe this guy an apology. But then I remembered what he said during the phone call, that he was rescued at night. And the video that he submitted to us was an airlift in the middle of the day. So again, I was skeptical. And here he is right now on the phones. So let's find out. I've had the email, the call yesterday, the email today, and now he's back for our questions. We go to Morro Bay. Curtis, it's good to have you back. Curtis, how are you?
Doing great, Jim. How are you?
My man, I'm great. I really, if I owe you an apology, I really want to give you that apology. But before I can apologize for the record, if you don't mind, I just need to answer. I need you to answer a few questions for me, if you don't mind.
You bet.
All right, so just a few questions. Let me start with this one. For instance, in yesterday's phone call, you said that you first heard a helicopter above you at 12:30 at night, but that rescue video is in broad daylight. There seems like there's an inconsistency there. I need you to explain that part of it.
I see where you're coming from, but what happened was search and rescue found us at night at 12:30, and then the CHP rescued us at 10 o'clock the next morning.
All right, so what happened? Why could they not do the rescue at night?
Because there was no place to land the chopper. As you saw in the video, they airlifted us out by a cable, and to do that at night would have been too dangerous.
So how are they communicating with you from the copter? Like, how did they tell you, listen, this is not safe right now, we see you, we'll come back tomorrow?
Well, they didn't actually say that. They didn't say that it wasn't safe enough. We found that out the next morning when we were talking to the CHP. But what they did when they showed up, they said, this is search and rescue, you have been found. And then they circled around us a number of times, and then they said, conserve your firewood. It might be until the morning till we are able to get you out.
All right, so you knew that they could not do it right there. I was going to say, was there any part of you that was like, no, where are y'all going? We're here. But they made it clear, we can't do it. We'll come back. All right, so that's point number one. So that's where that inconsistency was. Now, what about the water bottle? Is it in your possession? How come we have not seen a photo of the bottle in question?
Actually, Search and Rescue has it. And so this lady, Cindy, who was the camp host, she gave it to Search and Rescue when they showed up at the Arroyo Seco campground, and Search and Rescue took the bottle. And it's in their possession now. I'm sure it's on a mantle somewhere in regards to, you know, everything going so well, and that's how it all went down.
So why do you think they would? I mean, did you ask them for the bottle? Did you try to get it back?
We weren't able to talk. Well, there was only one guy from the search and rescue when we got landed the next day. But Cindy, the camp host, was trying to get it for us the whole time. She thought it would make a great memento, but search and rescue just would not give it back.
Curtis in Morro Bay laying out his tale. All right, Curtis, the obvious question then, if there's video, then there's a phone. If there's a phone, it would stand to reason that you don't need a water bottle or a message in a bottle. Why did you not use your phone to call out for help?
I did. I used mine. My son used his. My girlfriend used hers. But there's no cell phone reception out there. We were hoping that maybe 911 might have some type of emergency connection or something, but there wasn't anything. And so that's why we weren't able to call out. There actually is no cell phone reception, even 5 miles closer to civilization when you're at the Arroyo Seco campground as well. We were using the camp host's landline to actually contact people in regards to letting people know what happened.
Curtis, what exactly did you write on that note, and who found that bottle?
You know, actually, the guys who found the bottle, they just, you know, got back to the campground as quickly as possible. They did it in about 3 hours, which I know would have been, you know, wasting no time. But they turned it into the camp host, and then they took off. They went home. And so there is the lady, Cindy, who got the message. She doesn't know who these guys were. And what was written on the note was that I just wrote that we're trapped at the waterfall, can't go any further, we're stuck. Please send help. And then I dated it, so they knew it was actually that day.
I mean, this makes sense to me. Curtis, I'm almost there. It makes more sense to me. I'm starting to get closer to believing, and once I get to believing, then the apology will come. But I appreciate that. This is helping me. I just need to sit on this a little bit longer and kind of kick it around a little bit mentally.
Yeah. Well, it was a Nalgene water bottle, so there's a hard plastic water bottle. And so what I first was doing was carving it into a message into the bottle with a knife. I didn't know that we had pen and paper. And I yelled out to my girlfriend, do we have anything to write on? And she had said that she had brought in some pen and paper because we brought some, just a deck of cards to play cards in the evening. And for whatever game we might be playing, just to keep score. And so that was the only reason why we had the pen and paper. And she was, you know, with it enough, I guess, or, you know, composed enough to remember that we had it. And so just found it and wrote the note. And
bro, it's a good thing. If you were, Curtis, if you were counting on carving your SOS into that bottle, I don't think you and I are having this conversation right now.
Exactly.
All right. Curtis, well, listen, what else? Before I let you go, is there anything else that we have not covered?
No, there isn't anything that we haven't covered. I mean, the only other thing was just that there's a lot of people knew that where we were, what we were doing. So it would only just been a matter of time before somebody would have notified the search and rescue. It basically just expedited everything, and it was just unfortunate that we had to be rescued.
No, I agree with that. But you submitted the video, so I've seen the video of your girlfriend being airlifted out, and now you've come on and told the story. It's certainly more plausible now. It's more feasible. Listen, my man, I appreciate you. I'm going to think about it a few more minutes, but you are close to getting an apology from me. Now, I would not hold your breath about one from the clones, but you may be getting one from me soon, all right?
Don't worry about it, Jim. You don't have to apologize. I enjoy listening to your show. It's been a pleasure to tell my story, and, you know, I understand where you're coming from.
Good man. You're a good man, Curtis. I'm glad that you're safe and you're happy and you're home and you're healthy and your girlfriend, your child, too. All right. Great talking to you, Curtis. Thanks so much. All right. So, Curtis in Morro Bay, where do you come out? I mean, I'm having a tough time at this point disputing what he's saying. I mean, that makes sense, right? There were no bars. That makes sense. The rescue was in broad daylight because they couldn't do it at night. That makes sense. And the bottle thing's a little bit weird. Like, why not just give him back the bottle? But apparently they're holding on to it. Do you believe what you just heard? I mean, was this guy and his girlfriend and his child really saved as a result of a message in the bottle? Like, again, I want to call bullcrap on it, but he sounded believable. There is video to support it. What do you think? Wesley Woodyard coming up next hour or two. Stay tuned.